Okay, let's take a minute and pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. I ask you, Lord, for grace right now in every way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, Second Corinthians. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. We are afflicted in every way. Everybody say amen today. But not crushed. Perplexed. I cannot tell you. We waited back and forth between this building. We had to rescue my dad in a trash can and float him across here to save his life and to get him over here to get him out. And I'm going to tell you, I walked this about 50, 60 times that day up to my waist and above almost my chest and the current flowing. And I looked and I just look around and all of our houses flooded and the whole church is flooded and the school is flooded and all these tractors we do for missions, all those are underwater. And everybody say perplexed. I was perplexed. I don't know the whole definition, but I was perplexed. But not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down. Everybody, how many of you have been struck down? I've been struck down. But not destroyed. Everybody say not destroyed. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self, and you put that, your buildings, your houses, whatever, as well as your life and body, is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Come on, somebody. And this is the amazing thing. For this light, everybody say light. Everybody say momentary. Affliction. This light, momentary affliction is preparing us for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not at the things, the sheetrock on the side of the road, the beds, the furniture, the TVs. We do not look at the things that are seen, but to the things that are not unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are... How many know every bit of our stuff at one point in life is going to be on the side of the road anyway? It just happened to get there sooner for some of us than others. But it's all going to be in a junk pile sooner or later. It's all going to be in a junkyard sooner or later. We lost all, you know, our vehicles. You got to see this. We started two of them up, got them out of water. I came out of water, been driving them. And Mark came work the whole day on one of mine because it died finally. And he said, yeah, the transmission's all full of water. Come on, somebody. I've been driving around for days all full of water. How many got to do you on water? But the things that are unseen are eternal. But I go back to verse 17 like this. For this light, momentary affliction. If anybody else had written that, I'd say, he don't know what I'm going through. He don't know what I've suffered the last week. He don't know what the pressure I've been under. He don't know. He doesn't understand. Well, look at this. This looks like what this man went through. Watch this. Here it is. Here is Paul describing what his light, momentary afflictions were. All right? Let's just look. For are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm speaking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift in the sea, holding on to a plank. One time I had to help myself. I thought I was going to be washed away. On frequent journeys. In danger from rivers. Anybody been in danger of a river lately? In danger from a river. Danger from robbers. I've already had 2 tractors stolen here. How many say in danger from robbers? Danger from my own people. Danger from the Gentiles. Danger in the city and dangers in the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brethren. In toil. And how many has been in toil and hardship this week? How many of your back's hurting right now as you're sitting there, you know, and you about had enough? Through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst. I'm going to tell you, we spent a day and a night up here. They ate nothing better than a cheese ball out of children's church. Come on, somebody. Man, that sustained us. Often without food, in cold. How many... I won't tell you those, but we got over to Costco's the day they delivered us over. And listen, they ain't nothing better than a dry pair of socks. Come on, somebody say amen. I mean, you ought to see it. I was dressing my dad in where you eat in Costco's. I was going back buying stuff and dressing him. I bought towels, got all the wet clothes off of him, dried him, dressed him right there. And hallelujah. Come on, somebody. And apart from all these things, you know, they say, now apart from all the physical sufferings, there is the daily pressure on me of the anxiety for all the churches. You think, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my... Everybody say amen today, would you? So the Apostle Paul went through many things in his life, and he had the right to speak of this momentary light affliction. You know, in Acts chapter 9, when he was called, in fact, that's what the Holy Spirit said to him. Show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In Philippians 1, I used to think, well, that's fantastic because that's the Apostle Paul. But listen to what God says about it. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Did you believe it or not, what has happened to us is really going to serve to advance the gospel? Amen. So that is become known throughout a whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also what? That has been granted to you. One person came up and says, you remember what you're supposed to do? Strength under pressure. Come on, strength under pressure. Meekness. And so he spoke about that. Look what James said. I'm sorry. Look at the, go to the next one. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job and seen the purpose of the Lord. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord. You've seen the purpose of the Lord in Job's life. You saw what it did. You saw what it produced. You saw what the Lord did. He says, you have seen, you saw how God, what happened to them, how it seemed unjust what happened to them and didn't happen to somebody else. But you saw the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord had compassion and merciful. So I've been praying for the compassion and the mercy of God in my life. I'll tell you this, there's a tendency when you go through, say, why me, God? Why me? Why not somebody else? And all that, when you start that battle, there's no winning that battle. You've got to lift your hand and say, God, there is a purpose in this thing right here. There is a purpose that I don't see now, but I will see the purpose at some point in my life. But the Bible says they endured. So he said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces, everybody say steadfastness. It produces steadfastness. You know what I'm going to tell you this? One of the things I've learned is this. Many of you no longer are talking about what God did for you. I'll go back. Keep me back up. Keep me up loud so they can hear me in the back. I'll stay back. Many of you are no longer talking about the God that helped you 20 years ago. You're talking about the God that helped you yesterday. Come on, somebody. You're talking about the God that provided. Jasmine and I had to start writing a journal down. I mean, it is unbelievable. People have walked up. We were in Costco. We looked like refugees. We've been in water and, I mean, people came up handing us money while we're sitting in Costco. I said, how'd they pick us out of everybody else? I wonder how they picked us out amongst everybody else over in They were handing us money. And, I mean, my dad was sitting, we left my dad and mom outside so they wouldn't freeze and get a cold in air conditioning, so we got them dried off. And people were coming outside handing my dad money. Handing money, giving this and that. I cannot tell you. You no longer. What are we going to do? You're going to learn how God can provide when there's no other provision in your life. We had very little insurance, flood insurance, because we didn't need it for our building. But so far, let me tell you, God has provided to where we may be looking back in the main auditorium next Sunday. Come on, somebody. We had paid every penny we could pay down on our loan here. And we only had like $2,000 in the bank. And we're going, you know, on the next one, and I committed, you know, John Deere Kubota was going to make up any debts that we needed. And next thing I know, they all went underwater, And then we had to get a team in here And let me tell you, God provided the money to get this team in here and get them started ripping this stuff out. You know what you're going to learn? You're going to learn difficult times teaches you that God can provide when no other source of provision is available. Come on, give him a good clap off. Isn't that great? Here's what Paul said. Listen to what Paul said. And the Spirit of the Lord, I'm sorry, not Isaiah. Do I have, I may have had somebody, did I skip one? Do you have 2 Corinthians 1 or do I have that one? There we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, one of the keys about life, I don't have 2 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9. Paul said this one time. I'm jumping so much ahead. Paul said this one time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 7 through 9, he said this. He said, we were pressed beyond measure. How many of you ever felt lately that you've been pressed beyond measure? You feel like you've been pressed beyond measure? What God is doing in our lives, pressed beyond measure. I mean, God will do that. Unbelievable. Then go to Isaiah. Oh, we got it? Okay, got it. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share our sufferings, we'll also share in comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia, for we were utterly burdened beyond our... Anybody been utterly burdened beyond your strength this week? Utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired, watch this, of life itself. This is the great apostle Paul. We despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us realize. That wasn't just to harm us or to get us. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead. That made us come to a place where God, I don't have any resources. I don't have anything to do. Look at the pile of sheetrock and look at there's no insurance. Lord, what am I going to do? That we might rely on the God who raises the dead. Everybody say amen one more time. That is so good. Isaiah 11 was my birthday scripture. I know I've got you out of order, don't I? I got to be one. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Listen, get your eyes off the pile of debris standing by the road. Get your eyes off. Jasmine had to throw her wedding dress away because it was all mildewed. We lost everything. But I'm going to tell you, there comes a point when you get your eyes off of that and you look at that which is unseen. And you begin to look at what is eternal instead of what is there. I like Isaiah 43:2 says this. It says, and when you pass through the waters, what does it say? When you pass through the waters, what? Why didn't you just let me not pass through the waters and be with me anyway? But when you pass through the waters, how many of you have saw God's hand in your life, even through the devastation of your life, what God's doing in your life? What he's providing, what he's done for you. I know all of us have had many a cry this week. And I know we can say stuff is just stuff, but there's some things that are just, pictures and da-da, all that stuff. And when you go through that, but it says this, when you pass through the waters, God said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I've not dumped you. I've not forgotten you. I'm not letting you go that by yourself. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And so when you get to learn that God literally is with you, and I've learned that in my life, that literally beyond our strength, I'm going to tell you this week, if I told you the miracles that God has done, and for some of you need miracles, and the Lord's going to do that for you. I believe that God's, another big thing that I learned this is, when we go through something, you have a lot more mercy for somebody else going through it. You know, when you're going through something in your life, and you've never had been touched by that, well, then you can have somewhat, but you can never feel what they feel unless you walk through it yourself. Look what it says here in the next scripture. Wake up. I'm sorry. I'm losing scriptures here. It says, wake up and discern. Listen, wake up and strengthen what remains. I'll talk about it in just a second. Leave it up if you would. Literally, God brings us to a place where we literally are experiencing what other people are experiencing. And when you do that, you just come to a place where you just know. And you got a heart. And when you walk through with somebody and your house is gone too, it just does something deep on the inside of you. But one of the biggest things I've learned this is in my life, through 40 some years of ministry with people, the biggest thing is don't get caught looking backwards. Do not get caught thinking about every moment of every day how much you lost. When you begin to think about how much I lost, what 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 I lost. When you get stuck in that mode, what happens is it just begins to multiply in your mind. But here's the best trick I've ever found. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Wake up and strengthen. It says, begins this. Begin to concentrate on what you've got. Not what you lost, but what you have left. And what you're going and what the Lord's going to do through you. And what God can take what you've got. And I'm going to tell you, God can take a little and make much out of it. God can multiply. God can. The Bible says at the end when Job was finished a small part of his life, it says God brought a blessing upon his life. If you don't believe God can double your blessing, you don't believe God can give you back everything that the devil has stolen, that God cannot multiply back. God can do that in an instant of time. Come on, somebody. And it is. And God began to do that in our lives. You know, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's about to come through us." And Revelation 2, 3 says, strengthen the things that remain. But I love this. Isaiah 43 says it this way. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I got brand new clothes I never had on before in my life. We lost every stitch of clothes we had. Come on, somebody. For a week, almost about 4 days, I had two outfits. And they were all the same one. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you, we washed them, cleaned them. But I'm going to tell you, I may be starting dressing differently because I don't have a suit. I don't think I'm going to buy another suit. And so I'm just thinking about that. Just kidding. But just think about it. It says, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Everybody say amen today, would you? God's about to do something. And then it says 18, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you want to perceive it? Everybody say, I want to perceive it, Lord. You know, one of the greatest things I learned in life was this. Winston Churchill stood in the midst of all his devastation of London when the Nazis and they were bombing London. And one of the men talked to him and said, Churchill, this is the darkest hour of England ever. And I never forgot what Churchill said. He said, no, sir, this is our finest hour. Everybody say, this is our finest hour. God's up to something. Bow your heads this morning, would you? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you have been our help in times past. And we say with everything within us, you're our help today. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you. Our hearts are broken. We are perplexed. We are cast down. But Lord, we're not destroyed. We're not, Lord, despairing. We're not at the place, Lord, where we're giving up. Father, it's hard and times are hard. But Lord, I thank you for letting us come together as this. I thank you, Lord, for touching every life. I thank you for helping us, Lord, to help everyone we can help. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. We adore you. But Father, we know this. Use us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Use us, God, to touch lives. Use us, Lord, for the gospel. Use us. Everybody said amen. Everybody look up here. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get back. Listen, God is going to bring in a harvest in this place. God is going to bring in a harvest. And there's going to be souls. Listen, take your testimony and share it. Some of you have shared more about God than you've shared in the last 2 or 4 or 5 years of your life. You've shared what God, you're just open about it, what God is doing. You're not preaching to him. You're just sharing your life, what God has done in your life. And so God's going to do miraculous things. But do this. Get your eyes off of the sheetrock. Get your eyes off the torn down building. Get your eyes off the plywood. Get your eyes off the couches and all the stuff, Father. Get your eyes on the eternal God that lives forever and ever. And set and see what God can do. Give a great clap offering. Would you come on? All right, give somebody a good high five. Would you do that? Ben, have I forgot anything? Is it raining outside? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, give somebody a good high five. You stand around and fellowship and love each other. God bless you.